Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, the place for blade lovers to learn about knives and hear from the makers, manufacturers, and reviewers that make the knife world go round. I'm Bob DeMarco, and coming up, news about whose knives, a new finch in the nest, and a survey of slip joint patterns.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining me. Well, in a new tradition, I'm going to have a little dad joke of the week. And to sort of start this thing off, I'm going to start with a very daddish sort of image, which is, man, I love my furniture. Me and my recliner go way back. Pretty good, huh? I'm going to check that one off. Look, I have a book of 600 plus of these that I got for my birthday from my kids. So they asked for it. So therefore, you asked for it. My favorite comment of the week, I actually had two this week. And one of them is just purely an ego stroke, but I liked it, which was, that was one of the best half hours I've spent in a very long time. And that was from M, after watching my traditional pocket knife collection video. So thank you, M. I really appreciate that. That put massive, major wind in my sails. And then another comment, which is one of my favorites for a different reason, from a Lacey Lace. And she says, great episode, but this was hard to watch. I don't want to be rude, so I won't say why, but anyone that watches it knows exactly what I'm talking about. I watched the whole thing, but there was def a lot of head shakes. And this was on the James Williams interview 2 weeks back. That's episode 342. And the reason this comment struck me is that I've been either actively in the martial arts world or martial arts adjacent for many years. And it's such a polarized environment and a debateful environment. I don't think that's a word, but it is now. And I'm not exactly sure what Lacey Lace is talking about, but James Williams, after an entire year and lifetime and career in the martial arts, has some very, well, let's say very firm opinions about things through his own knowledge. And I'm wondering if this makes Lacey Lace bristle because she's a martial artist and maybe she thinks he's closed-minded about things or something. So I don't know, just interesting, but just points out how even communities like, you know, the knife community or the martial arts community, two very different places, but how they can really get polarized even under the shared love and passion of a thing like knives or martial arts in this case. So thank you one and all for watching and for commenting. I'm always interested in what you have to say, especially when kept civil. And you know what? Everyone keeps it civil. It's always very nice. Even detractors keep it civil, which I appreciate. All right, so let's get to a pocket check. Okay, today I went into the vault and got out my first best knife ever. This was my Zero Tolerance 0452CF. And what I mean by that is when I got this, this was the first time I spent, let's just say ZT money. And the first time I got a Sinkevich design, and this is my favorite of the Sinkevich designs. I love everything he makes. He makes a really beautiful wine key you have to check out. But yeah, all of his designs are beautiful, but this one has always struck me. And there are variations in the Zero Tolerance lineup of this design, smaller or way more exotic in build and materials. But yeah, this was my first knife with carbon fiber. And when I first got it, I liked it. And then after a while, the pattern started to wear them. I would love to get another scale for this someday because I feel like this knife deserves a different scale. Then again, it is the 0452 CF. So, it would be weird to have CF without it. I love the ergonomics of this knife. It fits in the hand. Just so nicely. That's a 4.1 to 4 1/8 inch blade. you got cutting edge all the way up to the handle. So that's a full cutting edge with the way the flipper and that choil are created. And then just forward of the handle on the thumb side, you have this jimping up here, which is just feels perfect. It's perfect for that thumb on the spine of the blade sort of grip, otherwise known as the Filipino grip. Just a great knife. This is one that I've always felt could benefit from a shallower edge angle. It is sharp, of course, and I've gotten it sharper than it came, but I've always felt like it just needs to be, it's a little steep right now. It needs to be brought back a little. So maybe someday I'll go to the trouble. But I carry it not as often anymore, so I don't think of it. Zero tolerance, 0452 CF. Next up, kind of been in my pocket ever since I got it. The Jack Wolf Knives K9 Jack. This is the dog leg. We're going to talk about this a little while later when we go over patterns. Now, mind you, this is going to be a survey of patterns coming up, not really too much going deep into them because I have 20 to how I tend to talk. So, oh, look at this. This was totally unintended and unnoticed until right now. But today I had two carbon fiber handles on me. That is a very rare thing. Love this dog leg K9 Jack because it is a single bladed knife. So you get the full benefit of the ergonomics of that curve. And what I mean by that is if you have the spine and the spine contour of another blade popping out of the handle, you don't get the full effect of the ergonomics. You get the spine of the other blade on that belly side. So just that dog leg curve really fits and nestles in the hand perfectly for you could use this thing, you know, somewhat hard or as you would any other tough slip joint. I mean, these things are built like tanks, by the way. The Jack Wolf knives, we talk a lot about how refined they are with a full height hollow grind on that M390 blade and the beautiful refined design by Ben Belkin, who takes traditional designs and tweaks them to his liking through years of experience. But we don't talk often about how these are built like tanks. You have an integral spine and you have an integral liner and bolster, meaning the bolster is not soldered to the liner like on many traditional knives. It's all one piece with that groove cut out for the cover here. And then you have two screws holding the cover in and then sort of a very custom style screw setup where it's under the covers. Very rigid, very tough knives. You know, as slip joints go, with incredible walk and talk and pretty strong springs. I would put that at on my totally arbitrary 1 to 10 hole scale, I would put that at an 8 or a 7.5. 7 3/8, perhaps. Okay, next up, in my waist, this is, I haven't carried this one in a little while because I've been carrying my hog tooth a lot. The hog tooth Tonto. But today, my other favorite carry fixed blade, the Voodoo, the Kramer Custom Knives Voodoo, such a thin package here. I love this knife. I really have to get around to buying more of his work and having to make me a couple of others. He's got some incredible models that I really love, but this is the chief among them to me. This Voodoo, he calls it a Persian. I call it a clip point. I had him sharpen the clip point on this one that he made for me after he came on the show here. Eric Kramer, really awesome dude, making just incredible carry knives for military and law enforcement. He's former military, and when he first started making knives, he was making these big Rambo knives, these big, awesome, aggressive, the kind of thing you want to see in a movie, and giving them to his friends who were deployed, and they're like, these are awesome knives, but it's just too heavy to carry with all the other stuff I got to carry, you know? So he started making them smaller and thinner and lighter. And, you know, these are little last ditch, weapons here. These are not for prying open crates. And yeah, you could open your MRE with this very thinly ground, hollow ground 154 CM blade. But you wouldn't want to. This is something that might come out, you know, in a scrap. And, I love it. I love it. It carries so nicely. It's so beautifully made. And it matters to me that I really like the man who made it. You know, that's something I've learned through doing this podcast. I had heard people in the past talk about relationships with custom knife makers. And, I see what that is. I think it's cool. All right. And last up, my ESK today, my emotional support knife, was the Microtech Troodon. I can carry this now. It's a little stiff. And it's got the ring. Listen to this. Anyway, had this on me today. Not exactly sure if it's 100% legal, because of that secondary edge on top. But, you know, I don't know. These are murky waters we're swimming in. I just know that out the fronts are legal now here. And, you know, the rest of it is kind of like, I don't plan on getting any, altercations with cops, but you never know. You never know. I guess I would toss this out the window and then drive back and find it. So this emotional support knife, was on me all day and probably drove everyone around me nuts because it was a somewhat, I don't want to say tense day, but an active day. And I know I found myself doing that a couple times. So this was my carry today. What did you have? Drop it in the comments below. Let me know. I love hearing what you guys carry, what you guys and gals carry. Like I always say, it gives me ideas, gives me dangerous and expensive ideas. So let me know down below. I just got back from a visit to Hogtooth Knives up in, in the mountains of Massachusetts. It was out there. You've seen Matt Chase. He's been on the show a number of times. Hogtooth Knives, gentleman made my 50th birthday knife. He made the Tonto I carry on my waist a lot, and just a great guy overall. Well, my father, commissioned two knives for my mother for their 57th anniversary. And, sorry, Dad, if I got that wrong, 57th anniversary. And so we went up there. I mean, they've had a lot of travel in their lives. They've done a lot of cool things. They've never been like, too acquisitive. They've been more like, let's go and experience stuff, which is cool. So this was an experience for her. She thought she was going to her old hometown up there. But we ended up at a forge. She's like, where are we? We're on a dirt road now. Where are we? What are we doing? And, we show up, Matt Chase walks out. Hey, how you doing? We walk in there. She understood what it was. And man, she had such a ball. My mother makes jewelry, so she loves tools. My dad got her an ultimate set of screwdrivers one year, and she was so excited, and all of her friends were like, what? Your husband got you screwdrivers? So, you know, that's my mom. She loves tools. So, he toured her around and showed her the big presses and the big hammers and all. Man, it was awesome. It was so cool. His shop is beautiful too. He's a very talented, smith. And I did happen to order a birthday knife from him. It's not a forged one. It's from his production line. And I'm excited to show that off when it comes. But yeah, we had a wonderful time. So let me show you the kitchen knives that he made. This is the paring knife. Look at that. That's 15 N20 and 1095 Damascus, which he explained how he made that incredible pattern. And then that wood is, it's a purple and blue, buckeye burl wood, stabilized burl wood. And I found out how it's stabilized. He explained it to me. It's put in a vacuum. The wood is put in a vacuum and all of the voids and all of the pores and veins are filled, with a vacuum. The vacuum pulls the dyed epoxy up through all the voids. I didn't understand how that worked, but very cool. Beautiful knives. My mom was very, very happy. And my dad was very, very proud that he came up with this really cool gift and great experience. And it was a good family bonding experience. The only one missing was my brother. But we had a great time up there with my sister and my mom and dad. And I got to say thanks to Matt Chase for hosting us and Hogtooth Knives. And as we parted ways and shook hands, I invited myself back and said, you got to teach me how to forge a knife. And he said, yeah, come on up, man, anytime. So sometime I'm going back up there and I'm going to learn how to forge a knife. This has got to be a part of my life at some point. Right now, practically speaking, living in mega suburbia, not quite an option yet, but I have to forge knives at some point in my life. So going to do it. All right. Next up on Junkie Podcast, we're going to take a look at New Kaiser. And we're going to talk about Who Knives for a minute, and then we're going to have a State of the Collection Fest. But first, if you like what we do here and you want to help support the show, please go to thenifejunkie.com/Patreon and check out the three tiers of support and the exclusive stuff you get and the giveaways you are entered into, et cetera, et cetera. I really appreciate the patrons out there for helping support the show. So does Jim. I also just appreciate all of you for spending the time here. So quickest way to do that is go to thenifejunkie.com/Patreon. I will repeat that long and complicated address. That's thenifejunkie.com/Patreon.
If you're a knife junkie, you're always in the market for a new knife. And we've got you covered. For the latest weekly knife deals, be sure to visit thenifejunkie.com/knives. Through our special affiliate relationships, we bring you weekly knife specials on your favorite knives. Help support the show and save money on a new knife. Shop at thenifejunkie.com/knives. That's thenifejunkie.com/knives.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. And now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
I've been talking a lot about Kaiser knives on the show here as I've been sort of reacquiring. I had a batch of Kaisers early with the Dorado and the Matt Cucciara days, beautiful titanium things, got rid of those. But recently I've been reacquiring the Vanguard series I've been loving. If you're familiar with them, they have a thing they call the Friday Knife Club. And it's the Kaiser Friday. What they do is they take a one of their Vanguard edition knives and they fancy it up a bit. And in this case, you make sort of an exclusive about it. In this case, they take the Urban Bowie by Dirk Pinkerton, little tiny sub-3-inch Bowie. It's a little charmer. They take this thing and instead of G10 handle scales, they're putting on ebony with carvings in it, and I think it's cool. And they're boasting the facts that they have this sort of wax that they put on it to stop the ebony from. I'm assuming it's already stabilized, or maybe you can't stabilize ebony. I don't know. It's so hard and dense. But anyway, they have a wax that they put on it to sort of treat it so it is somewhat impervious to the elements, or as impervious as it can be. I think this is cool. I think the Urban Bowie is kind of a cool little knife. Anyway, I do not own it, you know, yet. I love Pinkerton designs. I love Bowies. And this little pocket chunker looks cool. But with the ebony, it just adds something special. So go out there, take a look at the Kaiser Friday Knife Club for the ebony treatment here on the Urban Bowie by Dirk Pinkerton. Cool little pocket chunker, as our good friend Jimmy Slash would say. Next up, Who Knives? H-O-O, Who Knives, a great little company out of Great Britain, a gentleman who was a big fan of the knife world and a big, you know, knife collector, but, you know, what do you want to say? Victim of the knife laws over there. Victim, that sounds like, you know, he was working within the constraints of his knife laws over in the UK, designed some knives that have the aesthetics and some of the appeal and function of locking knives, but made them into these really cool double detent knives. Anyway, Who Knives, due to financial constraints and pressures, has to go on hiatus for a while, which is I hate that news only because I hate hearing anyone having to stop production. Even when I see a new restaurant go up and down, it bums me out because people put their blood, sweat, and tears in this. Not only that, but look at these new designs that were going to be coming from Who Knives. Very, very cool. These are, again, double detent, so non-locking, but just a little bit sturdier, a little bit beefier, even further emulating some of the design cues of a modern locking tactical folder. So I'm sorry to hear this, that Carl Pearson of Who Knives has to do this, but you got to do what you got to do, and we will keep our eyes peeled. Because this is a lot of potential and he's already started and has gotten knives out there and he will honor warranty work and all of that. But, Mr. Pearson, we look forward to seeing Who Knives return and, your further success. Alrighty, coming up, let's take a look at the state of the collection and then a survey where I gotta keep my mouth moving for this. A survey of slip joint patterns. Coming up on the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Get upside and start earning cash back. Download the app at thenifejunkie.com/saveongas and start saving. It's that easy. Earn cash back in seconds. Download the Get Upside app right now at thenifejunkie.com/saveongas.
Do you use terms like handle to blade ratio, walk and talk, hair pop and sharp, or tank like? Then you are a dork and a knife junkie.
Okay, so you may have seen my unboxing video this past week of a new Finch knife. And this was a out of the blue, hey, check this out, from Spencer and Steve over at Finch Knives. And man, I am grateful. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. They sent this over for me to check out. This is their new Buffalo Tooth knife. And I am smitten. I'm smitten with this knife. Okay, so we know Finch's USP. Finch Knives is all about making modern flippers in with modern techniques, but taking design cues from slip joints and the traditional knife world and putting them in this modern context. I love it. We've had them on the show. We've had Spencer on a couple of times, and Spencer and Steve, we had them on for the birthday bash, and it was great talking with them and finding out where they come up with the design ideas. They're both outdoorsmen, and they both have attachments to the past through their families, fathers, grandfathers, and these slip joint knives. So I love how they honor the past, but also honor the present and all of the innovations that have come forward. So the Buffalo Tooth is their take on the elephant toenail style knife, like this big, broad blade, fat handled work knives. I've heard it said that these were used on boats. You would put it on top of a big rope and then hit the top of it with a mallet. But then I heard that that was hogwash. And actually, these knives, these toenail knives were, elephants' toenail knives were favored by traveling salesmen in the Midwest, like during the 30s and 40s, something weird like that. So whatever the truth is, the elephant's toenail is a very, what do you want to say? It's one of those designs that really sticks out and sticks in people's minds. You know, there are some designs that are super small or super big, or this one happens to be super wide and broad. And I have to say that they really interpreted that traditional knife in a modern flipper so well. This works in a design way so well. It feels great in hand. I mean, you have, of all the French knives, I'm not going to say this is my favorite. I think the Holiday is still my favorite, but of all the Finch knives, this feels the best in hand. This just, you grip this and I swear you can do a lot of work with this. It's got an inch and a half, almost inch and a half broad blade with a very tall, flat grind, thin blade. So, I mean, it is really wicked slicey. On my unboxing video, you saw me cut paper and make little tight waves with it, you know, just kind of cutting back and forth. It is a razor blade. This one has Cocobolo wood. It also comes in bone and a jigged steel handle. This is a steel frame lock. I believe that's a titanium clip. You got bearings in there. And I love the old nail nicks on there. Even though you don't need them, if you feel like opening it with the nail nick, you got it on both sides. And actually, you need it. You need that nail nick to pinch this open because the detent is tuned for the flipper. I love a bolster lock. Did I mention it's a bolster lock? Or did I call it a frame lock? I probably just rattled off frame lock. This is a bolster lock. And I love the fluting. That is a touch that traditional knife guys love, that fluting in the bolsters. So nicely done. And thank you so much, Steve and Spencer, for sending this to me. I will treasure it, and it will be a great part of my flock, of my nest of Finch knives. All right. So that is the state of the collection this week. Speaking of slip joint knives and slip joint patterns, let's talk for a minute or 30 about slip joint patterns. There are a lot of them. So when this came in, I pulled out my other elephant toenails. I got a few of them, and it occurred to me that there are like so many different patterns, and we tend to think of maybe the top five patterns, but there are a lot of them. And I realized as I gathered 20 of them together that there are more that I am missing. So feel free to leave comments of ones that I should get to fill up my collection. But here are some very common slip joint patterns. Now, these are all coming from Case Knives, Great Eastern Cutlery Knives, and Rough Rider. With a couple, I got a Boker in there, and I have an old electrician's knife in there. Oh, spoiler alert. Okay, so one concept I want to get to first is variation. Variation meaning the first knife I'm going to show you is a Trapper. The traditional Trapper has a 3 1/4 inch blade here and main blade, clip point, and then a spay blade for spaying animals. Look at that long, straight, menacing blade. So as soon as I realized what spay meant, I was like, oh, that kind of spay. That innocuous looking blade has taken on a much more menacing, menacing feel. This is a Case. It's the stainless steel I Love You Daddy white bone version. But there, the variation part is that this is also a Trapper, this massive Great Eastern Cutlery, based on the Remington, the giant Remington folding hunter. That is one. Here is the improved Trapper from Great Eastern Cutlery, where they put a Warncliffe in there instead of a spay blade. Here's a slimline Trapper. It's a single bladed Trapper. So Trapper doesn't necessarily mean this setup with the clip point, California clip point, and the spay blade, but that's its most common iteration. This, by the way, is a terrifying knife to shut. It's got these giant blades, and it's about a 9.5. So it is a fingernail breaker. So first one is the Trapper. Next concept, actually, I want to get to is, so the Trapper is a jackknife. A jackknife is a knife that has blades coming from the same pivot. So the same side. This has multiple blades coming from the same side. This is a jackknife. We also see single-bladed knives being called jackknives, but if you need to know what a multiple-blade knife is, all coming from one end, jackknife. Here it is a pen blade, and this is a Congress. This is our second pattern. A Congress is a pen blade, and that means it's got blades coming from both sides. It blades pivot on both ends of the knife. So now I'm going to put this down. We have pen knives, we have jack knives, and this is a pen knife. This is a Congress, and I always thought, oh, Congress, it's like a fancy knife. It's what congressmen use. I don't know why I thought this had something to do with, like, statecraft, but no, it means Congress, like coming together. So the blades, these usually have four blades, three or four blades on both sides coming together. I've seen Congress knives with six blades in them. But yeah, that's Congress meaning like coming together, not our political body. This one is a number 62. With this is unicorn bone ivory, unicorn ivory, Delrin or whatever it is, some sort of plastic, but they call it unicorn ivory. And when I got it, my daughters were shocked. I was like, yeah, they had to kill a unicorn to make this knife. And then, of course, I walked out that. But this one is a Great Eastern Cutlery. It's got the different style blades here, the pen knife, which is a spear point, and the Warncliffe. These will have multiple blade shapes and lengths on them, and that's the Congress. Next up is a Barlow. Now, the Barlow is a jackknife. You will only ever see blades coming from the bolster end on a Barlow. And what makes the Barlow a Barlow is that bolster. Among other things, they usually are this sleeve board shape, so they start a little bit thinner on the pivot end and widen out towards the tail end, the pommel. And the bolster is what makes it, because it travels 1/3 of the length of the handle, roughly. So it's a very long bolster. And the point of that is that a long bolster gives, and then a longer tang gives more side-to-side stability when you're doing hard work with the Barlow. And the Barlow is a working man's knife. back in the day. And I don't know what day that is, but back then. And it was meant for hard use. And it was a commoner's knife. It was not a fancy thing that you put in your vest. It was a sturdier knife you dropped in your pocket and did work with. This one is white bone. This is a Rough Rider, an older one, I believe, because it's an R-I-D-E-R as opposed to R-Y, right? And it's got a very sharp, but, you know, cheap steel blade. It's 420, I believe, they use on these. And it works for me. I love this little knife, got to say. I got two of these Barlows. And I love white bone also. So next, you know, we have a case, we have a GEC, and we have a Rough Rider representing sort of three tiers of cost so far. You're going to see four tiers of cost represented here. And we'll get to that shortly. Next up is the Stockman knife. Stockman. Now, here's another thing I was kind of absent-minded about. I always thought Stockman. Oh, this is for a guy working in a warehouse. He's dealing in stocking shelves, and because that was I did that when I was in high school and college at a paint store. So that's what I was thinking. But Stockman. This is a knife for cowboys, not for guys who work in paint warehouses, though you could use this very well. So the Stockman has a couple of blades on it for a cowboy to use for work. You've got a large primary blade, which is a clip point, and then you've got a sheep's foot, probably my most used, even though there's a more of a patina on this knife because I've cut meat with it. And then, since you're a cowboy, you'll probably have to spay something. So you got a little spay blade on there. This is the GEC number 66 calf roper, and it's a serpentine jack. So you can see how the frame is, has that little curve in it. This is a great knife. I love this knife. I saw, Rob Bixby's, version of this with Gabon Ebony. And I searched for it, and then I remember they re-released it in what year was this? You can tell because they date them. This is 2017. They date them in the serial number here. So yeah, great knife. I love a Stockman. I need more because GEC has a new one. I'm gonna have to look into that. They have a traditional Stockman out right now, which I need to get, and I think it's on the it's on the beer and sausage frame. I can't remember the numbers. My numbers are getting my GEC numbers. I'm just slipping with them because I'm just kind of getting back into slip joints right now. Okay. Next up is the boy's knife. Now I have the 15 here. This is the Great Eastern Cutlery number 15. The boy's knife is, it is a sleeve board pattern handle. That means it tapers from the smaller bolster, smaller than the Barlow, tapers and looks like a sleeve board on an old-fashioned ironing board. My grandma used to have one in her kitchen. You'd open up a cabinet, the ironing board folds down, and then there was a secondary board that came down that you could fit sleeves over, so you could iron your sleeves. A length of, 3.5 about, or 3.25 in length. They do vary. The number 14 is a much smaller knife than this, and that is also a boy's knife. And here is a boy's knife from, this is the Little Bro from Jack Wolf Knives. You can see just about the same length. He put two bolsters on his. We'll talk about this another time. What a great knife this is. Representing another tier of cost. But the traditional boy's knife has either a clip point or very frequently a very simple spear point like this and a single blade. Though my very favorite boy's knife, which is not as iconic a style of boy's knife, has a clip point and a spay blade. It's kind of set up like a trapper. And that's the one I show off probably the most on this show. But so the boy's knife. There it is, a great pattern, and I've also shown off the store display of the little boy's knives that my brother got me last year for my birthday. Very cool little thing. It has all 12 knives still in it. I'm sure it's worth something, but I'm going to keep it. Okay, next up, the Swayback. Oh my goodness, I love the Swayback. It first got its hooks into me with the GEC number 47, the Viper, and then it reestablished its hooks with the Jack Wolf Knives Laid Back Jack. Oh, love this knife. So now, a Swayback. A Swayback has almost always has a, I'm sure there are exceptions to everything I'm going to say, but a Warncliffe blade here, and a handle that curves upward to fit the palm of the hand, especially for this sort of backward carving and peeling, hold. But you can see on this Jack Wolf, on this Jack Wolf Knives version of the Swayback Jack, the Swayback curve is reduced a little bit compared to other designs of Swayback, and I like that. It makes it fit in the hand in the regular grip, the grip you're most likely going to use it in most. I think it makes it fit in the hand better, the way Ben redesigned it. He does that with all of his designs. He just tweaks them. Like I said, he's got an amazing collection of custom slip joints, and he draws inspiration from different ones and comes up with the best version of the traditional design for him, and for it happens to be for me too. I love the way this feels in hand in this reverse grip for peeling and stuff, but I'm going to be holding it much more like this, and that reduced upward curve accommodates. So that is a Swayback. A notable Swayback is the case, Swayback Jack, a great little, it's smaller than this, drop it in the bottom of the pocket, and it's a great, great little knife. Comes in either just the Warncliffe, or you get the Warncliffe and the pen blade. All right, that is the Swayback. Next up is the Toothpick, sometimes called the Texas Toothpick. But saying Texas made me parched. I imagined the place where I got stopped by a cop out in the middle of Texas. It was desertous, and I thought, this guy could kill me and leave me out here for the dogs and the birds, and no one would know. But he was very cool. All right, here's the Toothpick. This is a full size. This is the only place I can ever find a full size toothpick now is with Rough Rider. This is from their Tobacco Road series, and just a nice big full size. What is that? A 4-inch? 1, 2, 3, 4-inch length California clip point blade here on this toothpick. Fits in the hand really nicely. You've got a long curved horn shaped handle. It looks like a steer's horn. And then a clip, long, slender clip point blade, sometimes called a Turkish clip point, sometimes called a California clip point. And I'm sure there are really fine points between the two of those that I don't get yet. But it always has a long clip point, sometimes with a secondary descaler. I've seen a descaler and eye gouger outer. I think that's what that thing is on the end. Maybe it's for getting out hooks. But you'll see that, a fishing version of this knife. Love the Texas Toothpick. And they mostly come mini. I have a mini one. Oh, that's not here. My wife has that one. But love the Toothpick. And they always reminded me a little bit of Italian stilettos, just in their length and kind of skinny menacing nature. Next up is a classic work knife. And again, you can find many variations of this, but this is probably my favorite. This, or the smaller version. This is the GEC Sodbuster. This is the Bullbuster. This is the larger one. They make the number 72, which is the bull nose. And this is the number 21, the Bullbuster, a bigger version. This has a 1, 2, 3, and it's almost a 3¾-inch blade on a nice stout spring walk and talk. On my totally arbitrary scale, I would put this at a 7. And I think that's ideal. 7, 7.5 is ideal. Has a nice, girthy, contoured linen micarta handle. here. This is from their work, Field and Farm series. So they it used to be that they had the Field and Farm series and they were less desirable, and you could, after the release of a Field and Farm version, you had a couple of weeks at least to snap one up. Some of the less desirable models would linger on websites for a long time. That just doesn't happen anymore with Great Eastern Cutlery. Whatever they release goes like immediately. So I'm glad I have what I have, because I don't have much patience, and I'm not, you know, I'm just getting back into a slip joint mode. So a lot of cool slip joints have come out while I've been sort of out of the collecting mode, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, this Sodbuster is known for its, like I said, sort of girthy and lengthy working handle, a little bit of a bird's beak at the end to keep it in your hand, and just nice and stout with a very large pivot. They always have large pivots. As a matter of fact, when you see the case bone Sodbuster, you'll see that they have very small pivots. And I think that's a bone of contention with Sodbuster collectors, because the pivot is supposed to be larger on a Sodbuster. Long drop point blade with a good straight section and then a good belly down towards the end of that drop point. Just a very slight drop point. This reminds me actually of like an Essie or a Hunglis. Essie Hunglis sort of blade, just sort of made small and in a folding version. You've got the nail neck there. This one had a patina, and when I polished it off, it took the artwork off, but at certain angles you can see it says Bull Buster. I don't care for the billboarding on the blade. I know if I were a true collector of these, I'd leave them pristine, but you know, it's a work knife, so. And you know how much I work, you know, out in the field with my knives, so I had to get this one dirty. Good walk and talk. Let's listen. Not so dramatic on the sound, but a good walk and talk and a large, sturdy, single-bladed working slip joint knife. Next up, one that is near and dear to my heart. I have a number of versions of them, and my very first knife, which I've shown off a bunch here, was one of these, but I'm not going to show that one. I'm going to show another one from my grandpa of the same type. And this is the camp knife or the scout knife. And when I say scout, or when they say scout, they're referring more to like Boy Scout, not scout like I'm a scout. I'm out scouting around with a big tracker knife. It's one of these. So a multi-bladed knife that's sort of, Swiss Army knife style knife. They usually have four implements on them, a screwdriver, cap lifter, a can opener. This is an old-fashioned type of can opener. I tried it. It works. Now I just can't remember how. Oh, you just carve it. You just push and rock. But it doesn't lock onto the side like the newer ones. And then it'll have a main blade, usually a spear point. But if you get the GEC 99 camp knife, it'll have a big clip point blade. That is a very, very cool knife. And then an awl, I love the awl. And on my first camp knife, it was most definitely, I should say, the most used tool on it. You know, you want to make a bow and arrow, you're going to use that awl to make the holes. Holes and belts. I just found myself as a kid using the awl all the time. You can get these in a bunch of different versions. Rough Rider has a couple of versions right now that are good. However, beware on the Rough Rider versions. The cap lifter doesn't really lift caps. It looks like a cap lifter, but you have to do a little bit of filing to make it work. It doesn't quite fit on the lid as well as it should. I've been able to make it work, but through very conscious manipulation. And, you know, when you're trying to get into a beard, you want to have to do conscious manipulations, especially if it's beer number 12 or 13. So the camp knife, love this thing. I love all of these versions, but I like this one with the old fake, bone. This is Delrin, jigged Delrin. Oh, and this one says MDUSN. So I'm not sure if that means like Medical Corps, United States Navy, or, you know, I know it's pre-Usual Suspects Network. All right. So something that you saw, in my pocket check. This is the latest Jack Wolf knife. This is the August release. The beautiful dog leg jack. We talked about this before, so I'll keep it brief. I do love that swell tip spear point. I love how it drops the cutting edge angle. So really accelerates a cut as you're pulling through. But the thing about this is those are the ergonomics. That curved shaped handle, the way it fits in hand, and the way Ben tweaked that design, it just fits in hand perfectly. So that's the dog leg jack. I always thought that the dog leg jack before I had this one, I always thought it looked a little goofy. And I always thought, oh, they're just trying to be different. And different for different's sake, what's the point? But then I got one in hand and thought, duh, Bob, you're so arrogant for thinking that, you know, because of course there's a reason for it. And there's a reason why it stuck around. If there was no reason for it, it wouldn't have stuck around. It would have been just a novelty. But the dog leg jack is a very, very ergonomic handle. I just recommend that you get one that is single blade so that you can really take advantage of the ergonomics. Next up is a Tony Bowes design and not so universal. I've seen custom makers make it, and then I've seen Case Knives and Case Tony Bowes make it. This is a Carhartt edition of the Case Knives back pocket. The back pocket knife has a long, slender California clip blade and a nicely contoured and long handle with a lanyard hole. And the Case version comes with a little fob. Case Knives. I love the idea of this knife. I am not so much a back pocket carrier of the wallet. But when I was an urban dweller and I was always on my feet walking around and not sitting as much and not sitting in cars and stuff, I'd have my wallet in my back pocket and I would keep knives right next to it and they would stand up straight up and down next to the wallet. Well, I didn't have this then, but this is perfect. When I carry a wallet in my back pocket and then you slide this down next to it because it's the perfect length. And then you have this little thing hanging out. And of course you got to be careful about pickpockets and such. But you know, you've got this, or just walking by something and snagging, like if you're walking in the woods, snagging on a bush or something, got to be careful, but perfect size and length for that kind of carry. That is a long blade. 1, 2, 3.5 inches, a little bit skosh over 3.5. And this is the case stainless steel, surgical stainless steel, but you can get this in, if you can, actually, I don't think they make these anymore. You got to find these on the secondary market, but you can find them beautifully done with bone. The only problem is some of those don't have the lanyard hole. And to me, the lanyard hole is a big part of what I like about the back pocket knife designed by Tony Bowes. Okay. Next up is the lady leg knife. Lady leg, you say? All of the girls in my house, including my wife, have one of these by Rough Rider. And then my wife went and got a bunch of them for her female cousins. And so, like, everyone in the family has one of these. Mine is big because I'm a man. No, this was sent to me by Mike Latham. Thank you, Mike. He knew I liked Rough Riders, and Mike Latham has a bunch of sweet, you know. He doesn't need Rough Riders around, so he sent this and a number of others to me. And this is my sole lady leg. But I love that shape. Because it looks like a lady's leg and then it's got a high heel. Also looks a little bit like Italy. But I also love it with the imitation tortoise shell. Because the bolster really does look like a short boot and this really does look like a leg. So I like that, and I love the saber ground clip point. You don't see too many saber ground slip joints, but I like them. I don't know why. No real reason. I just like the way they look. I'm being honest. And that's the whole thing about this knife, the way it looks. Yeah, it's a little goofy but you can still open up bottles with that with the lady leg, though I wouldn't, because I'm not so confident that this wouldn't get marred with excessive use. Okay, so that was the lady leg. Incidentally, that was a knife that was carried by ladies in the early 20th century. And so that's how that didn't come about for guys like me who like looking at ladies' legs and boots. It just was for ladies, and they just sort of kept it around. They're usually much smaller. My wife and daughters are all much smaller. Okay, next up is another one that I recommend you really get in the single-bladed versions of this style, if you can, to take advantage of the ergonomics, and that is the gunstock jack. And the gunstock jack has a handle that looks like a rifle butt, a rifle stock there. You know, there's the cheek piece, and this looks like a cowboy gun handle. Cowboy gun stock. But that, incidentally, leads to very, very nice ergonomics. That step up for the cheek piece, so to speak, is a comfortable way of widening out the handle to give you a little bit more control. And on this Jack Wolf Knives knife, representing the fourth level of expense here at, you know, this is the most expensive of the knives here, the Jack Wolf knives. Represents a certain sort of strength and really usability of this in a harder way. Now, you're not going to want to hard use the knife, of course. But what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that the ergonomics on this will allow you to do more. Especially right here, you have this area where your middle finger sort of sits in there, and then your forefinger goes there. And he designed this with a curve there that I really like. And you can, this locks into the hand. You can take advantage of those ergonomics. Whereas with this knife that I really love, but it has its issues, the Great Eastern Cutlery number 44 has the gunstock setup, but it also has the secondary pen blade, which is an amazing blade, but it totally obscures the ergonomics of that gunstock shape. So that is why I recommend, if you can, I know there are a number of different gun stocks you can get in a single-bladed version, like the one made by Fox that you can see over at collectorknives.net, or the Jack Wolf knives. This you'll have to get on the secondary market at this point, because these are all sold out. Awesome knife again, M390 blade steel, full height, hollow grind. Next up, the elephant's toenail I told you about before. We took a look at it when we looked at the Finch. I'll just show you real quick. This one always has a master blade, and then it, and on the other side, a pen blade, is some sort of secondary blade. This is a big pen knife, and like I said, it has a tradition that I've heard about, but then I've heard was disproved. I do not think that this is actually a maritime knife used for malleting through big ropes. That would be cool. I think it sounds way cooler than a favored knife for opening boxes by traveling salesmen, but we'll just put that one down here. Very known for the broad nature of the blades and the thick, broad nature of the handle. That is the elephant's toenail. And it's getting crowded. The field's getting crowded. All right, next up is the cotton sampler. This is a cool one, and I've only been able to find it. I think GEC made a run of it early on, like in the early mid-2000s. This one is by Rough Rider, and they're the only ones that you can readily go out and get a cotton sampler from, I'm pretty sure. Just a cool looking knife. Looks like a giant scalpel. But it also looks kind of like a dinosaur. I will say that might sound weird, but, look at that. It also looks a bit like a spay blade at the tip. Anyway, this is for cutting cotton, buds off. And then this flat part here is for, I guess you put the cotton on one side and you press your thumb and you pull it through to test its quality. And that's as far as I know. I don't know much about cotton farming. Well, I don't know the first thing about cotton farming. But I did read somewhere that that's what that little space is for. And that's what the shape of this knife is for. I got it because it's very unique and just wanted to have one in my collection. To refer to during moments just like this. So the cotton sampler, if you're interested, they have Rough Rider has a couple of different models. You can get it small. I have a wee little cotton sampler. You can get a cute little one, drop in your fifth pocket, or you can get a couple of these big ones. This one is in that nice faux stag. But the faux stag is still made out of bone, so at least it's somewhat organic. Okay, so next up is a maritime knife. This is the Marlin Spike. This is truly a maritime knife. I know that for sure. most Marlin spikes have a sheep's foot blade, though I've seen them with others, and on one side, and some of them now lock, but on the traditional one, the sheep's foot blade does not lock. It's just on a slip joint spring. But then the locking side is the Marlin spike. And on this one, you unlock it by pulling that down. What is the Marlin spike for? It's for vanquishing your foes. No, I'm just kidding. But you could definitely use it as a weapon. But this is for getting out knots, really tight knots in rope and string. Mostly rope, because it's a pretty thick thing. But imagine you have a knotted rope, and you have all of the strength of the winds pulling against that knot. Say it's on a sail or something, and then you have to undo that knot. Well, you're going to be happy that your Marlin spike that you use to wedge in the knots to loosen everything up, you're going to be glad that that thing is locked out, because if that folds when you're pushing and all the pressure, that's going to wrap on your knuckles and hurt like hell. Not only that, but it's going to just take you forever to undo the knot. So this is a Rough Rider Marlin spike with the white bone. I do like white smooth bone, as I've said. And that is the Marlin spike. A lot of cool versions of that knife out there in the wild. So check it out if you're interested. I think it'd be cool to dabble in making a tactical version of the Marlin spike. Next up, this is one given to me by my grandpa. And this is an electrician's knife. It says Swift Electric Supply, Nanuet, New York. My grandfather and grandmother lived in, and my mom grew up in Rockland County, New York, right outside of New York City. The electrician's knife usually have the wood handle, and they have the bail here, so you can put a lanyard on them or clip them to something. And then they have a big, sturdy spear point blade. Always have a bolster. Sturdy spear point blade, and then in liner lock fashion, they have a locking screwdriver / this is like for stripping wire, I think, and other, I'm sure many other uses that electricians know about. But there's the liner lock right there. It says press right there, and so that's something you want to keep locked open. Again, like the Marlin spike on that very specific use knife on the Marlin spike, you want that thing open because you don't want to be horsing through some knot and then it folds. Really hurt yourself. Okay, next up is the one-arm knife. This is something that was developed after the Civil War, when there were the American Civil War, when there were a lot of people wounded, missing arms, missing limbs, missing hands. The one-arm knife could be opened using the divot at the end of the sort of straight razor-shaped blade to open up on your pants or open up on the side of a table or whatever you're, wherever you are, that little hook on the end, similar to a straight razor, can be used to open it up. This is a Rough Rider with jigged honey bone and a bolster that is much like a long, kind of like a Barlow bolster, and a lock. It's a cool little knife. This would be a great little utility knife just to carry around with you. It's the lack of a point makes it less menacing. Then again, maybe the way it looks like a straight razor might make up for the menace. Not sure. But that's the one-arm knife with the notch at the end so that you can open it up with one hand against something. Okay, penultimate design here is the large folding hunter. And a number of companies have made these. This is a Boker, and this is with jigged bone. Beautiful, beautiful jigged bone. This is a very nice knife. I got this on the secondary market. Actually came with a great little pen blade the guy threw in there. But these are large. What are they measuring at? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 inches closed. So that's probably about a 4-inch blade. You get two blades on these. This is a large jackknife. And that clip point blade, which is, 4 inches long, is the main blade. Let me try and hold this still. Large clip point blade. Very beautiful. This one had an etching in it that was gone by the time I got this, or very, very muted. You got the double bolsters, and then you have a secondary blade for skinning. Or who knows, maybe that's your primary blade if this is your hunting knife. Again, that tall peaked clip point blade folded up in the handle totally obscures the ergonomics of this handle. So you are feeling the blade here, even though it looks like that must feel very comfortable. And the only way to truly feel how comfortable it is to open up both blades, and you're not going to be doing that. Here, I'll leave open the skinning blade. So that is the large folding hunter. And like I said, Case makes these. A bunch of different companies makes these. They are classics. I love them. I'm glad I have that one in my collection. And it came with a really nice leather thing, slip holster. Okay, last up is a jackknife. It's a very famous pattern, and it is just simply adorable. That is the Peanut. Here is the Peanut. Peanut, that's what we called my first daughter when she was in utero, because that's what she looked like. She looked like a peanut. This is a tiny little knife, very famous pattern by Case. This one is in their carbon steel, and I love their high carbon steel, their CV, chrome vanadium steel. They seem to pay special attention to the knives they make with the CV steel. And this is no exception. It feels great in hand. It's very, very sturdy, and that blade steel, that CV blade steel, just gets incredibly sharp. This one is of the Pocket Worn series, so it looks like you've been carrying it in your pocket for years. But a Peanut has a main clip point and a small pen blade. These happen to be extremely sharp. This is a great, great little drop in the bottom of the pocket, and it's probably all you need kind of knife. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Like I said, there are more, and I don't think I have them. I went through looking far and wide through my collection, and this is the most that I could come up with. And I find it very interesting. I'd like to, at some point, broaden this into peasant knives. You know, your Openels and your Leducs and the peasant knives from different countries, I think, are very interesting also. All right. Well, thank you for coming on this little trip down slip joint lane. I love it. I love these patterns. Don't forget what a jackknife is, what a pen knife is. And don't forget about slip joint knives. If you're not into them, if you're just into folders, if you're just into modern, check them out. Drop one in your pocket. Put it in a little slip and see how useful it is. And you might grow attached. So I don't know. Check it out. Word to the wise. All right. Thanks for joining me again. Download us right here on the podcast apps and check out the Sunday show when we always have a great interview with someone interesting from the knife world. All right, for Jim, working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying until next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.